This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The government shutdown is now in its third week, and the deadline to hit the debt ceiling is approaching fast. So far, there is no solution to the impasse.
And on Capitol Hill, still no compromise over the budget and other fiscal issues. Here's House Speaker John Boehner speaking to reporters a short time ago.
I have made clear for months and months that the idea of default is wrong, and we shouldn't get anywhere close to it. We're talking with our members on both sides of the aisle to try to find a way to move forward today.
Joining me now from Washington to talk about all this is U.S. Senator Angus King of Maine, an independent. He's also Maine's former governor. And this weekend, he was part of a group of Democratic and independent senators that powwowed with one of the U.S. Senate's lead Republican negotiators, Susan Collins. Senator King, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Sasha, great to join you.
So, Senator, obviously those weekend negotiations didn't lead to any major breakthroughs, but lawmakers were back at it this morning. Could you give us an update on where the situation stands now?
Well, here's the way I understand it. There was a bipartisan group that met most of last week and came up with a plan and really had it pretty close to final on Monday morning. But then the leaders, Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell, started talking. They used some of the elements of what we had come up with. And, of course, in the end, they're the ones that have to make the deal. They control what goes on the floor. And they came very close last night to a bipartisan deal. And then all hell broke loose in the House this morning. And it's have you ever seen five-year-olds play soccer?
They go around in a clump. Yes, I have seen it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I mean, that's sort of where we are now. I don't even have words to describe it. It's just chaos. And by the way, I heard the clip from the speaker saying he's trying to find a way out. It's really simple. All he's got to do is take a debt limit and a continuing resolution to the floor of the House and let them have a vote. And my intelligence is that there would be enough Republican votes combined with Democratic votes to solve this problem in about a half hour. And it's really important, I think, that people understand that this is a faction of a faction. I mean, it's a piece of the Republican Party that the Speaker's trying to mollify that I don't think they're ever going to be mollified, frankly. I thought that the deal that Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid worked out would work. It's getting more and more poisonous. And if you had predicted this a week ago, I would have said, absolutely, we'll have a deal by Monday. And any responsible person knows that we shouldn't even be flirting with this debt limit thing. But boy, is it frustrating to have to work so hard to do things that are obvious and should have been done in about 15 minutes. Pay the country's bills and run the government. I mean, how much more basic is it than that? And instead, we're in this absolutely bizarre and very dangerous situation. I'm frankly stunned that we're still playing these games at this late hour.
So you said you don't think it's ever going to be mollified. Do you really mean that? How do you think ultimately this resolves?
I think the only resolution in the end is going to be the Speaker allowing the bill to go to the floor and not count on those, whatever the number is. I've heard 60, 80 votes. I don't think this for those folks. And see, here's one of the problems with this whole thing. These folks don't care about governing. They don't really like the government. To them, a government shutdown is a success. And I hear this talk about the polls are showing that the people are blaming the Republicans and that's going to convince them to change or the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the big business that funds them. That's not it. This is about their constituents in their very Republican districts, and they don't care about. They're not influenced by what's going on the larger national scene. And to be putting the country through this and the economic effect. If we go into default, there's not a single American that's not going to feel the effects of it.
Senator King, you have said that you want to fix this situation, of course, but not, and here I'm quoting you, not at the price of establishing a precedent that this is the way we are going to legislate. Does this feel to you like a precedent-setting negotiation in terms of how the president and lawmakers may bargain from now on?
It does, and that really disturbs me that you know, by the way, the extensions of the government funding and the debt limit that we're talking about here are measured in months. You know, they go out to January and February. We're not talking about long-term extensions. And yet, you know, they're asking all kinds of major concessions. And my concern is a kind of constitutional one, if you take a deep breath and step back from all of this. It's really a group that controls one party in one house saying, we want to run the entire United States government. The conventional way you run the United States government is to win elections. And, you know, you elect a president, you control the Senate, you control the House, and that's how you do it. They're basically saying, well, we didn't win the election in 2012. We lost seats in the House, we lost seats in the Senate, we lost the presidency. But we're gonna run it anyway by basically holding the whole country hostage. And that worries me almost as much as the economic effect of what's going on is the sort of constitutional effect. This is a new way that is really extra constitutional. It's not how laws are supposed to be made. If you look in your sixth grade textbook about how a bill becomes a law, I guarantee there's not a paragraph that says, well, if all else fails, hold the government and the country hostage, and then maybe you'll get the legislation you want. I mean, it's anti-democratic, and I mean that with a small d.
There are legislators out there, and you know this, that are claiming that to not increase the debt ceiling would not be catastrophic. Now, you, of course, seem to think that it would be. So how dire do you think it would be if the government defaulted on its debt? I mean, they say, look at sequestration. How big a deal was that?
Well, I think, you know, they're playing with fire. All we've got to do is look at history. In 2011, when we went through this, the stock market fell 2,000 points. 17%, I think something like $2.4 trillion of value for ordinary citizens who own stocks was wiped out in a couple of weeks. Interest rates going up, I don't remember the exact numbers, but just the interest rate, if we end up with higher interest rates on our borrowings from the Treasury, that reflects itself through the whole budget. And of course, you then get into houses and cars. I was on the board of an automobile company, not a dealership company in Maine, and I was amazed that one of the most significant factors in car purchases is interest rates. And you can track it. And if interest rates go up, people buy, you know, they buy fewer cars, they buy cheaper cars, they keep their used car a year longer. Same thing with housing. Why do we have to do all of this, put the country through all this pain for no good reason? Three weeks ago, it was all about, you know, we're going to defund Obamacare. That didn't work. But now it's all kinds of other stuff do I sound frustrated?
You do. And I mean, how would you describe the mood of the lawmakers you're working with right now?
If this is a family show, so I'll use the word irritated. But they're frustrated, angry, testy. And I got to tell you, a lot of people I'm seeing are just sort of stunned and shocked and surprised. I mean, they can't believe that these folks have taken us to this point. I mean, you fight your fight, and eventually, if you don't get what you want, you live to fight another day. And these folks are just it's amazing. But the mood around here is not good. And of course, that makes it even harder to get a solution. I really think I'm just, you know, I'm not a member of the House. I don't really know the dynamic over there. But the really pernicious thing that's caused this problem is this so-called Hastert rule, where the Republican speaker won't bring a bill to the floor unless it has the support of a majority of the Republican caucus. So that means that half of the Republican caucus plus one, which is maybe 110 people, can hold the United States and the United States government and the United States economy and the world economy hostage. That's 110 people out of 535 in the Congress. And, that ain't the way the Constitution is supposed to work.
So, Senator King, you've been in the U.S. Senate a little under a year now, I believe.
Seems like five.
And does this experience, this sort of encounter with intractability, ever having you wish you were back in the Maine governor's office?
I'm sorry, I missed your question.
Does this experience ever having you wish that you were back in the Maine governor's office? Do you ever regret taking the job you now have?
Well, there's a story around here that if you ask a former governor who's now a senator which job they like better, governor or senator, and they tell you senator, they'll lie to you about other things.
Well, that's a laugh, but that's a rueful laugh then.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it's an entirely different job, but I don't regret having come here, and I've been working really hard in the last 2 weeks with a bipartisan group to come up with a solution, and I think we did a service, but and things were moving along, but apparently the word I got this afternoon was that Senator McConnell has said no more negotiations with Harry Reid.
And we should note that we just saw
what's going on in the House.
Sure, we just saw, in fact, a breaking news headline on CNN that says that some GOP House member says a vote on the bill is likely to happen tonight. That's the most we know. We'll keep you updated throughout the afternoon. That's Angus King. He's an independent U.S. Senator from Maine. Senator King, thank you very much for being with us.
Sasha, thank you. It was a real pleasure. Let's hope we can talk about better news next time.
Next time.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again next time.